You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Recently, I attended the annual conference by the Institute for Functional Medicine in Los Angeles, and the topic was on the cutting-edge science behind neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections throughout one's life. Now, among the amazing lineup of speakers, including Drs. Jeffrey Bland, Mark Hyman, Dale Bredesen, David Perlmutter, was also Dr. Michael Merznick. Now, he's a PhD who I'm so honored to have on the show today. Now, Dr. Merznick is the brain behind Brain HQ and the author of Soft Wired, How the New Science of Brain Plasticity Can Change Your Life. For nearly 5 decades, he has been a leading pioneer in brain plasticity research and published over 150 articles in the leading peer-reviewed journals. Great to have you here, Dr. Merznick.
Oh, it's nice to be with you, Suzanne.
Oh, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but at the conference, you were really gracious enough for me to take a picture of you and Dr. Perlmutter. And you also even took a picture of Dr. Perlmutter and myself saying, what a good-looking couple.
Well, I do remember that, and it was fun, and you were a good-looking couple.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you so much. It's good that your brain is working, your brain HQ, it's working, and I can't wait to talk about this because, you know, at the conference, after your lecture, it was an amazing lecture, by the way, on how our brain is so resilient as long as you properly take care of it, you know. So I'd like you to just, at least before we talk about Brain HQ, I'd like you to talk about your definition of neuroplasticity and why it's so important for us who are getting older.
Well, Suzanne, our brain is continually changing itself as a function of how we engage it. And every time we improve at anything or every time we acquire any new ability, that's actually accounted for by the remodeling, the revision of the machinery inside our skull. And you could think of yourself as a continuous work in progress. I mean, you're changing your brain, you could say, in a significant way every day of your life, especially if you're moving your life in a positive direction, you're moving your brain in a positive direction. And you can say also if you're letting things slip, then your brain is changing plastically in a negative direction, which is something you want to avoid in every way you can.
There's no doubt. At the conference, we learned everything from our different lifestyles and what we're doing. And right. The takeaways, of course, was about improving our diet and making sure we get rid of all the allergen foods and sugars. We wanted to minimize the toxicants, the chemicals and toxins, pesticides, GMO foods loaded with glyphosate. You know, we want to remove that out of our environment and, of course, putting it into our body or putting it on our body or even breathing it in. And exercise was really an imperative factor in improving the brain flow to your brain. But you're saying that we need to really exercise the brain. We need to train the brain.
Yeah, it's not just exercise of your physical body, of course, that you have to exercise the brain itself. And the brain itself is it's continuously plastic. And actually, exercising it indirectly is a critical aspect of sustaining its health. You know, the brain is like any other organ. You know, you can have a flabby brain just like you have a flabby liver and a flabby body. And basically, you need to engage it in a significant way throughout your life to sustain its health. And that's really what our brain science, that's really what Brain HQ, engaging the brain to drive changes that are important for sustaining your brain health, is all about.
All right. You know, the reason why I'm so interested in interviewing you and your work is because about 6 years ago, I had a terrible head injury, brain injury, and, a lot of us go through this. And it totally destroyed it really affected my blood flow to the pituitary gland, causing a condition called panhypopituitarism.
Right.
So pretty much all of the endocrine organs in my body started failing. I wouldn't call it failing, but it went to the degree where I was hypothyroid, I was hypoadrenic, and then I lost my entire menstrual cycle to the point where I went into menopause within 4 weeks. So during that time, though, the thing that I was really upset about the most was actually about my brain. You know, right. I couldn't think as quickly. My memory was going very rapidly. I wasn't able to even speak clearly. I was almost stuttering, you know, stammering. Words couldn't come out, and it was really scary. So what I did was I looked into, you know, doing as a physician, I was like searching, what can I take? What can I do? And the thing that came to mind, or at least then from the research, was that I had to really stimulate the mitochondria in my brain. I had to stimulate the mitochondria, creating more robust mitochondria function. And one of the other things that I did was I started learning I started playing the guitar. And and that really helped too. You know, learning a new instrument was amazing for getting my brain back. On your website, you've got a tagline that says, think faster, focus better, and remember more. I'm going to tell you, that is what I'm searching for. And that's what I want all my patients and people that are listening here to get, you know, better help in. So your brain HQ is super important, I think, for everyone in the world. And I think it's even great for kids, right?
Right, it is, absolutely. But Suzanne, you describe a very common sort of life, not that your particular condition was common, it's relatively unusual, but vicissitudes befall the majority of lives. I mean, I like to say that in an older life, abnormal is normal. That is to say, most older people have had something happen to them, you know, and that basically has challenged them neurologically and has impacted their brain health. That has impacted their performance abilities as it relates to their brain. But, you know, we have this precious gift, and that's the gift of continuous plasticity. You know, your brain, that machine inside your skull, is continuously plastic. You can improve its health. You can regrow its capacities because it has this capacity to change by your engaging it. You know, you're learning a new instrument to play an instrument was a wonderful intuitive thing to do in a positive direction because the brain absolutely wants you to be continuously engaging it to acquire new ability. That's another way of saying you're engaging it to change in important positive ways that contributed to your brain health. So you did. You took a step in the right direction. And another important step for many people to take is Brain HQ because it's designed basically to deliver those forms of help with relatively high efficiency.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Brain HQ because I actually became a member so I can do the free exercises.
Yes.
And the one that you know comes to mind is the one with there's this picture. What's great is it's an interactive and anyone can do it. I mean, it seems so easy. Even like a 3-year-old, I think, can do it. And the one that comes to mind is the one that I did with, there's the birds that are flying, and there's pictures of different birds, but they're all the same except there's one bird that looks different, and what you need to do is you need to click on that bird. So it's you're reading and monitoring the speed of how quickly you can actually click on that bird.
Right. It's one of a number of exercises that are in which we're trying to improve what we call your speed of processing. And actually, and we're doing that by basically challenging you to make decisions, you could say, at greater and greater speed, and you get briefer and briefer flash, and with greater and greater accuracy, the birds are going to become more and more difficult to distinguish. Now, you could say, well, why would you do such a thing? Well, we know that speed of processing is a pretty good index of overall brain health. It declines from the middle of life in almost every, as you age, decade by decade. It's sort of like the changes in your vision that make you need reading glasses. It's pretty reliable in most individuals, unless they live their life to the advantage of their brain, you could say, and unless they do something about it, because it turns out it's almost completely recoverable by training. And speed of processing, a whole series of other things decline with it. For example, your memory declines in close parallel with changes in your speed of processing. And really what it's reflecting is the accuracy, the precision with which your brain is representing what it sees or hears or feels in detail in fast time. And as the brain goes fuzzy as you get older, it turns out you can sharpen it by training it. And that's what you did. That's what you were doing when you were making those faster and faster distinctions about those more and more difficult to see birds. You were actually creating something very fundamental, Suzanne, that really related to all of your operations in your brain. Your brain in general is going to operate at speed in everything you do, in every way that you use it. And that's another way of saying you were restoring yourself broadly in all kinds of abilities by doing this very simple, very elemental thing.
Right. What I understand, though, with Brain HQ, it's not just about speed. You mentioned memory, but also, you know, attention.
Sure.
That's interesting.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. Attention is a critical thing. I mean, older individuals, it's not just that you weaken in your ability to focus your attention or to sustain it, but you're much more distractible when you're older. You know, you're in an environment that's noisy, or thoughts come into your mind that disturb you and that carry you off the beam. In all kinds of ways, you lose control of your attentive state. You know, you're capable as a young individual, as a young adult, of highly focused behavior for long periods of time. And that weakens when you get older, and you need to restore that. You need to work on sustaining that at a high level when you're older.
Can you help with Brain HQ exercises children that have ADHD?
Yes, we do. We've actually created and validated training strategies. So we can have an effect by training a kid for 15 or 20 hours. It's equivalent to the effect that you see if you gave the kid the ADHD medicines, but there's a difference. Because unlike the medicines, when you stop training it, you know, and the kid's been working on a computer for a little while, they've had just as much benefit. They're on the ball again, but 6 months later, their attention control is even better. And 6 months later, of course, they haven't needed any medicine. So you could say you can correct the brain naturally by training it in ways that basically move it to operate in its attention control more like a normal brain. And in fact, indistinguishable from a normal brain. So you can recover attentiveness, and you can actually recover the ability of the child not to have to be disrupted by distractions, that is to say the hyperactivity side of it, by training them.
What's the difference between like brain speed exercises and attention exercises? What's the difference in the way your exercises show? I mean, how is it?
Well, when you're there are two dimensions of attention. One is that we're exercising the brain in a way in which we're upregulating the processes that control your basic alertness or brightness. So in an inattentive brain, basically that machinery in the brain that basically produces and releases neurotransmitters that control your brightness. I mean, something happens and I'm either sparky and bright and easily aroused by it and alerted to it. I'm really on the ball. The teacher begins talking in the class, and I'm really engaged. I'm really connected and listening, because the brain basically is releasing neurotransmitters in this attentive state that basically turns on the lights. Now the lights are on bright, and I'm going to really be a good recorder of what's happening because of that. Now that's one dimension of it, Suzanne, but there's another dimension of it, and that's the brain normally has the power to suppress distractions. And a normal brain in a kid, the kid's doing well, under attentive control, can sustain their attention for a long period of time. So you have to train the brain, basically, of somebody that's ADHD to control those things that will normally carry them off the beam. So those are the things that aren't important in the moment. You can actually train that, strengthen it. So now the brain becomes very good at basically focusing on the subject at hand and not in the bird out the window or the kid throwing the spitball or the or someone talking outside or all of those things that can carry the kid out mm-hmm. of the attentive state and into distraction, into hyperactivity. Both of those dimensions, the inattentiveness and the suppression of distractions, are highly trainable in adults or in children.
Great. That's good to know. And of course, because you know, when it comes to when I had my head injury, the thing that was noticeable was my anxiety, my mood.
Yeah, right.
I was
right.
Very, how do I say, my sense of, I couldn't handle stress easily. And the overwhelm of just anything that would happen would put me over the edge. And I was not a happy camper at the time.
Well, it's going to express a general functional unreliability. You're just never going to be quite completely in control. And that's something, you know, that top-down control is so critical in for sense of well-being and for doing well at whatever you're up to in your job or in your life. I mean, it's absolutely critical that you have a reliable machine up there.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. I mean, at the time, I was really scared. You know, at 48, I thought I had to retire.
Yeah.
I was doing whatever I could to get myself back on track. I went to many different practitioners, doctors, you know, places. I did neurofeedback, you know, biofeedback, all of that.
Right.
I must tell you that I did recover very quickly from as quick as I think anyone can get, because I was really, really motivated to get my brain back. But the thing that for me it was difficult was sleep, and I'm still struggling from the sleep. So I'm constantly working on my sleep, getting better sleep. And, you know, most of the time I get 8 hours, but it's interrupted. Can Brain HQ actually help with sleep disorders?
Well, we've actually been doing trials, and we were supported by the government to do studies in individuals that do have sleep disorders. We're actually doing a trial now that's designed to evaluate its effectiveness with potential FDA approval. But what we've seen in preliminary studies is strong effects on sleep. And most of those effects come from specific exercises that, are regulating the systems, the machinery in the brain that's primarily controlling both your arousal, how brightly you feel when you wake up in the morning, and your falling asleep in the evening. So we know a lot about the fundamental chemistry of these in the machinery that controls these processes. And we know we can impact their health, their general positive integrity, by training the brain. So that's what we're trying to do. And we seem to have pretty strong effects. It's something that at Brain HQ, the exercise that you might remember called freeze frame most directly engages this machinery, but a number of the exercises on Brain HQ actually engage it and drive these positive changes. So this is a work in progress, but we are seeing very strong indications of positive general impacts on sleep and the quality of sleep.
That's exciting. Now, of course, we all want to keep our IQ up to par too as we age. I mean, I know some people, you know, in their 80s, 90s, they're sharp. I mean, they're just so sharp. They don't miss a beat. They're so good at with their little deliveries, and they're comedic, and, you know, they're joking. They're so amazing. And then there's individuals even in their 50s and 60s, close to my age, that they are slower. They cannot react. They cannot come up with anything, you know, that is, except they might be more monotone in the way they deliver answering their questions and whatnot. So tell us about how Brain HQ, and if it can it help our IQ?
Well, Suzanne, about half of the variation in IQ, when you think of your what we call your adaptive intelligence, that's your solving a new problem kind of intelligence, which is really the most important dimension of intelligence. About half of the variance in human ability comes from variations in brain speed. So when the brain is operating accurately at speed, you know, then basically you can think of it as your brain now is operating with high reliability and going through the sort of possibilities and problem solving and getting to the answer. And it turns out that this is a highly plastic dimension of in your brain. Anyone can be exercise their brain in ways in which they accelerate their brain speed. So and that will advantage you in all operations that you challenge your brain on in problem solving or dealing with the real complexities of life. In the same way, the other dimensions, things like relate to things like your working memory, your ability to keep things in mind while you're operating on them, or they relate to other dimensions of the practical sides of problem solving. Those are all plastic. So hypothetically, our science strongly indicates, and many control trials indicate, that we can change these things by training an individual. So that's one of the reasons why we've trained people that work in the corporate world, and we can actually significantly improve their performance on the job and in life. by training their brain intensively in appropriate ways. So this is one of our big goals, is you could say, why can't everybody continue to grow in life as they get older? Why can't everybody grow in life as adults so that they get the most out of their brain, so that they get the most out of life? That's a big goal that we have, Suzanne. And we all should think of that as an important personal goal.
Oh, I know for a fact that I'll be using your Brain HQ as long as I can. I'm gonna share that with my mother. My mother, her greatest fear is what she calls old-timer disease, you know?
Yeah, Alzheimer's. Right. Yeah.
She's
right.
85, and I must tell you, she is sharp. But, yes, she has a little bit of memory loss here and there, and
right.
She's got to write everything down.
Right.
And she has fears of getting this, because one time she actually forgot where she parked her car and took her over an hour to find her car.
Yeah, right.
You know,
well, she's
and,
a perfect candidate for
exactly.
some for, you know, engaging her brain, not just on Brain HQ, but in life, to think about what she's doing from the point of view of advantaging the health of her brain.
Well, you know, we talk about the Brain HQ, but I'd really like to have our listeners learn more about what else can we do besides
right.
exercising, playing an instrument, you know,
right.
what else? Do those Sudoku or those type of testing, not testing, but those games that you can play, not play, but yeah, games, I suppose games that you play actually help?
Well, some do and some don't. So, for example, most people think that practicing remembering by doing things like doing crossword puzzles or
right.
Sudoku, things like that, are valuable, but they're actually not very valuable. We use those tasks in control trials as a control task because we know they have relatively little limited neurological value. Way to think about it is that you don't really lose your memory because you lose the ability to remember exactly. You lose your memory because the way the brain is representing things it's trying to record is now sloppy. It used to be sharp and crystal clear, and now it's fuzzy and not very clear at all. And you have to sharpen the way it represents that information before it can really put it into the permanent record. And that takes a very different form of training than to just practice coming up with the word. So you have to actually practice in fundamental ways that relate to your vision and your listening to really recover those abilities. And it's not completely intuitive. On the other hand, there are things you can do naturally in the puzzle dimension. For example, there's a recent study that shows that if you intensely do jigsaw puzzles, where you're actually working hard to make all of those distinctions about those pieces and rotating them in your mind and trying to keep more than one target in your mind while you're and getting better and better at it. You got to be serious about it. You get better. If you take on any new task that's ultimately speed challenged, and you know, you don't think of a jigsaw puzzle as being speed challenged, but it is if you make it. But think of a speed challenge game like, let me take up ping pong or pickleball or some other game where I start slow. And I'm maybe not very good at first, but I'm going to get faster and faster at it. I'm going to take it seriously because I'm actually going to get better at it. Or you talked about a great example of learning to play an instrument, working on it, taking it seriously, getting better at it, a little better every week, every month. Or learn a language. Why not? Why not really develop that basic competency in Spanish you've been saying you'd have for 50 years?
Oh,
and now
God.
You're finally actually going to make it useful, you know. Things like that are very, very good for your brain.
Right. You know, speaking of language, I have a little house in Mexico, and we visit it every, you know, like I go there a lot.
I'm so jealous.
I think
jealous.
It's one of the things that actually put me in a place where I can decompress
yeah.
my sympathetic dominant state from the injury
yeah.
and really
yeah.
help my brain recover. Now,
yeah.
the thing is, though, I must tell you, Doctor, I cannot learn that language of Spanish. I
yeah.
try, and I've written words, and I say, what is about then my area of my brain? Maybe I've injured it too much. I don't know.
Well, who knows why, but you should be able to make progress. Your brain is plastic, my dear. I mean, you should be able to make progress. maybe it's because you're not approaching it with the kind of intensity that it takes, or maybe you're not Maybe you need to immerse yourself more directly in it and really challenge yourself. Or maybe you do have some weakness that's specific to your life or your brain. Because, you know, we're all imperfect. None of us has an absolutely perfect machine or capacity. But we do all have the intrinsic ability to be better and stronger, to improve at almost everything we do, if we take it on seriously. And what that improvement means, Suzanne, is that you're actually changing your brain for the better. Or you could say you are your brain. So when you change, you're changing your brain. And to the extent to which you can think of that, you're making a better you, you're making a better brain.
Right. Well, I love everything we talked about today. And I'm super excited about your website, BrainHQ. So brainhq.com. I'm going to continue to work on those exercises. I'm going to give it my mother. The exercises. I know that you also have a membership for a nominal fee each month. I think you can be part of a much bigger program than the free one.
And it's a good thing to get into and to track your. One of the advantages is that you can calibrate yourself and you can see how you're doing, and then you can try to drive yourself to a higher level. And driving yourself to a higher level means that you're driving yourself to a higher level of ability. Hypothetically, your intelligence, and hypothetically, you're putting yourself into a safer place. And all of those things are important in a life.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Dr. Merznick. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. So I've given, I put up your information, a link on my Wellness for Life radio show page on Radio MD. All right, everyone. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.